It's time for Packers Preview again. Talking about the Pack on KFAN. The Super Bowl, we're gonna win again. According to your host, David Sinekin, we'll win on the road. We'll win at home. We'll even win in
U.S. Bank Stadium.
Mike's fans can call it for You've Got the Balls, the Packers Preview Show. And now, the Fan Radio Network is only somewhat proud to present year number 22 of Packer Preview. Packer Preview is brought to you by Hudson Ford, Park Tavern, St. Croix Casino, West Bend Mutual Insurance, Maury's 394 Hyundai, and Midwest Leaf Guard. Now, here's the cheesehead, the head cheese himself, Dave Sinekin!
Good morning, Packer fans, and welcome to the Week 9 edition of Packer Preview on the Sports Leader and the home of the Vikings, The Fan, The Fan Radio Network, KFAN.com, iHeartRadio. Hope you enjoyed that extra hour of sleep this morning. No excuses not to be up listening to Packer Preview this morning as we get set for a Monday night affair at Lambeau Field. Packers-Lions, kind of a desperation game for both teams. They try to keep pace with the Vikings in the NFC North. Packers really in must-win mode coming out of the bye following that loss to the Saints 2 weeks ago. Very disappointing performance on both sides of the ball, but particularly the Packers' offense and the passing game. And we'll see what the Packers have learned in their bye week and have healed up a little bit. And they'll try to deal the Lions a fourth straight loss and a fifth loss for the season and send the Lions home with their tail between their legs. Well, what can we say? Packers do pretty well on Monday Night Football. It's their 25th straight year appearing on Monday Night Football. It's the second longest streak in the league to the Broncos. Packers have won their last three on Monday night, but the Fan has learned Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback in all three of those Packer wins. Brett Hundley gets his second start. He was abysmal, to say the least, in the Saints game. Not totally unexpected. You know, your first start, tougher defense in the Saints, which has looked much improved. They've won five straight games now. They get a Lions team that defensively does not put pressure on the quarterback. They are second to last in the league in sacks. Packers aren't much better, but certainly Brett Hundley should feel a little bit more comfortable in the pocket in this game. And after having a start underneath him, hopefully he'll feel more comfortable and McCarthy will loosen the reins a little bit and allow him to make some plays and get those wide receivers involved in the game plan. Second oldest rivalry in all the NFL. It's meeting number 176 between these two teams. Packers own this series. 100 wins, 68 losses, 7 ties. And I think you all know the stat. The Packers against the Lions in the state of Wisconsin, 25-1. Since 1992. Again, all bets are off when Favre or Rodgers are not quarterbacking. The Packers are a different club, and we'll see just how different tomorrow night. Mike McCarthy has done well against Detroit, 18-4 overall, 10-1 at home, and McCarthy's been very good after the bye. I think 9-2 the record, 4-0 at home. So all those stats look good, but obviously this is a Packers team without an identity right now. They'll rely on Aaron Jones on the ground and hope that Brett Hundley can make some big plays to put points on the board. 87, 89 yards passing as he had against the Saints will not cut it. All right, a couple concerns for the Packers roster as we get back from the bye. You'd like to have a much healthier team. I think overall the Packers are a healthier team, but a couple of injuries popped up during practice this week, which will affect the Packers' game plan. It sounds like they will be without tight end Martellus Bennett. What a curious week it's been for Bennett as we saw quotes from him where he actually announced that he thinks this will be his last year in the NFL, which, you know, we're happy for you, but why do you need to say that midseason? It questions whether you're committed, whether you're involved, whether you're still thinking about football as opposed to your life after football. I thought that was curious that broke during the bye week, and then we find out in practice he's suddenly injured his shoulder. He's doubtful for the game Monday night, so unlikely Martellus Bennett suits up for the Pack. It opens up a door for Lance Kendricks to get more involved, and certainly Richard Rodgers will be more involved as well. But you just start to wonder about Martellus Bennett on this back half of the season. I'm sure the coaches are wondering, too, about his commitment. So I question the shoulder injury just a little bit, and it seems strange that all that happened in the space of a few days. I'm going to retire after this year, and oops, now my shoulder hurts. So Martellus Bennett will not play Monday night, and I think pretty concerning. You know, when the Packers lose a guy like Aaron Rodgers, everything gets a little bit tougher, right? I mean, the margin for error gets down to special teams, mistakes, everything gets magnified because you don't have Rodgers to bail you out. Well, we learned a few days ago that long snapper Tabor Pepper broke his foot in practice. They placed him on IR. So the carousel that has become the Packers' long snapper position goes back to a guy named Derek Hart, who they had brought in during the offseason. Didn't like what they saw, let him go. It's gone from good to Hart to Pepper to good to Pepper and now back to Derek Hart. And actually, I think they pronounced Brett's name good. Either way, they'd like to bring him back, but because they released him, they can't bring him back till the November 19th game. So the Packers will have to go with Derek Hart for the next three games. And again, in a game like this, it might be a field goal game. Everything matters. You worry a bit when you have a brand-new long snapper who didn't, you know, if this had happened at the beginning of the bye week, when you've got a couple weeks for the long snapper to work with Crosby and the holder, that's one thing. This just happened a couple days ago. So I am concerned about the long snapper situation. We've seen when Mason Crosby has somebody new there, takes a little time to get used to things. So I'm concerned about the field goals. I'm even concerned about Justin Vogel punting. So just something to watch, a brand new long snapper in Derek Hart. That just happened a couple of days ago. All right, let's go through the other injury news and roster news. Badger fans are happy. Vince Beagle finally activated. The rookie linebacker will make his debut for the Pack tomorrow night. Don't know if we'll see him much at linebacker. I'd like to see him. I'd like to think he's ready. He's going to be a very good special teams player. He excelled at that at Wisconsin. But in light of the Packers' problems at outside linebacker, as far as depth goes, they'll be without Aaron Brooks once again with the back injury. That's becoming a chronic thing. The free agent pickup from the 49ers certainly looked good on paper, but Ahmad Brooks has not been able to stay on the field. We'll see if Vince Beagle gets some snaps. Packers must get a pass rush on Matthew Stafford. That'll be my ending theme today. The Packers pass rush has to show up tomorrow night and make Stafford uncomfortable. We'll see if Beagle gets in on the act at outside linebacker. Packers have also added Donatello Brown, the practice squad member at cornerback, gets activated for a Packers secondary that's gotten banged up in recent weeks. We learned a couple days ago they placed promising safety Kentrell Bryce on injured reserve with an ankle injury. They can't wait for him. So Packers are down a safety. They had added Whitehead to the roster a couple weeks ago at safety, and now they add Donatello Brown at corner, really to replace Quentin Rollins, who went down on IR a couple of weeks ago. I mentioned Martellus Bennett, doubtful. Brooks, doubtful. Quentin Dial, our other 49er cast-off, also doubtful. All three of those guys will miss the game Monday night. Questionable, Demarius Randall popped up with a couple of things, a hammy and an illness. So we'll watch carefully and see whether Demarius Randall is able to go Monday night. That's a key player. Even though he struggled a bit early, he's come on of late, and we're playing a team that, for them, for the Lions, running the ball is an illusion. They do not run the football very much or effectively. They love to throw the ball, so we need as many cornerbacks who can play as possible. We'll have to monitor carefully the news on Randall and see whether he is able to go. Both Devon House and Kevin King are good as starters. And left guard Lane Taylor, questionable as well, still dealing with the injury he suffered a few weeks back. Outside of Taylor, though, the other four offensive linemen are good to go. So the offensive line is in pretty good shape. The tackles seem to have gotten through their injuries. Lindsley's good to go. So we'll just pay attention to whether Lane Taylor can go and whether this offensive line is intact. So those are the injuries for the Pack. Again, after bye week, you'd like that to be a little bit shorter of a list than it is, but that's kind of the way this Packer season has gone. Injuries have certainly reared their ugly head. So, 2 weeks to get ready for the Detroit Lions, and I've said this now as I looked at the schedule and the reality that is, another 7 weeks or so minimum without Rodgers. Whether he comes back or not depends on two things: how well the collarbone heals when they check it after 8 weeks, and where the Packers are in the standings and in the thick of the NFC race and whether they're still in the mix. And if they want to still be in that mix when Rodgers comes back, right now they have to win two of these next three games, in my mind. They're 4-3. They've got, obviously, the game tomorrow night, home against the Lions. They go to Chicago the following Sunday. That will not be easy. This Bears team is playing very well defensively. They're playing well at home. Trubisky's getting more comfortable. And I consider next Sunday's game a tough one in a rematch with the Bears. And then they come back and play the Ravens at home. So to me, you got to win these two games at Lambeau Field. If they're 6-4 in a few weeks, I'm going to like the position the Packers have put themselves in. 6-4, a minimum three more weeks following the Ravens game without Rodgers. They'll go to Pittsburgh. They'll have Tampa at home and go to Cleveland. And again, win two of those three. Have yourself 8-5. If the Packers can be 8-5, heading into that December 17th game against Carolina, that's the earliest Rodgers could come back, even if he doesn't, and they lose at Carolina, and they're 8-6. At 8-6, they'll still be in the mix. And here come the Vikings on December 23rd on a Saturday night, and maybe Rodgers makes his return against the team that knocked him out. That's the wishful thinking. That's where we all would like the Pack to be, but it really does start, to me, Monday night. This is a huge game, and I thought that was the case with the Saints game. And then because they lost that one, this one really becomes a must game. The Lions feel the same way, having lost three straight, but really, it's a division road game. And that, I never call a division road game a must win. In fact, they've already won one in Minnesota. So despite their three-game losing streak, the Lions, division-wise, are doing okay, and their schedule actually eases up quite a bit after this one. So it looks like they're a desperate team, but to me, the Packers are the more desperate team heading into the Monday night affair with a home division game, having lost two straight. Packers have to win this one to instill some confidence in themselves. They can win without Aaron Rodgers, and it's going to be on Brett Hundley to make plays. You look at the quarterback position, Stafford versus Hundley. It doesn't look like a really close matchup after how Hundley looked in that first start. I'd like to think that McCarthy, with a couple weeks now to settle him down and figure out plays that are going to work well for him, very curious to see what we're going to see from this Packers offensive attack against the Lions defense. We saw Pittsburgh. I mean, Pittsburgh threw the ball all over Detroit Sunday night and probably should have done more. Roethlisberger was inaccurate on a number of throws where receivers were wide open. So there's some nice players in that Lions secondary, and we'll talk about that. But there are certainly plays to be made, and the Packers' chances tomorrow night firmly rest, to me, on the right arm of Brett Hundley and whether he can make plays. So we'll see what he's learned from his first start. So lots to get to in this hour with all the key matchups and what the Packers need to do to get the win. We have absolutely full phone lines. We'll get to all of your calls, gentlemen. I think as I look up and down, you're all gentlemen. We'll get to your calls in just a bit as we rock and roll on Packer Preview on The Fan.
You're listening to Packer Preview on The Fan.
Tell all the people across the USA, I love my Green Bay. Chicago, Detroit, and Tampa Bay.
Throw in the vibes.
They all come up as laggers. We take our opposition and crunch them like they're crackers. That's why I love my Green Bay Packers.
All right, back with you, 7:18. Thanks for getting up early or finding us on the iHeartRadio app whenever you woke up. This is Packer Preview on The Fan, getting you set for Packers-Lions Monday Night Football Lambeau Field. I'll be making the trip tomorrow. Looking forward to being there and seeing what the Packers can do to show the world they are not a one-man team and that they've learned something during the bye. Packers need to take care of business at home Monday night against the Lions. We'll see if the quarterback's up to it, and we'll see if the defense is up to it. I think the defense needs to stand tall against a Lions team that's really struggled after a nice start. They were 2-0. They've dropped four of their last five. You saw the game Sunday night. They were in the red zone five times. They settled for five field goals, despite the fact that Stafford threw for 482 yards on the night. He has been sacked 25 times, and the Packers need to put him on the ground. They cannot let him be as comfortable in the pocket as Drew Brees was, or he will pick the pack apart. There is no question about that. Emailer Stacy asks or says, I see Brett Hundley more as a Russell Wilson type quarterback. In your opinion, is McCarthy going to incorporate more rollouts and called quarterback runs? That's Stacy in Duluth. Thanks for checking in, Stacy. Certainly a taller Russell Wilson, that's for sure. We did see him score with his legs and move with his legs, and you have to take advantage of that, I would think. You got to be careful with him because he goes down, you got Joe Callahan. And let's be honest, the Packers don't see much in Joe Callahan. They didn't plan on keeping him this year until Taysom Hill got snatched off our practice squad by the Saints and they brought Callahan back. So you need Hundley out there. So you got to be careful not to do too much with him to bring an injury into the picture. But yeah, I mean, you got to move him out of the pocket. You got to give him time. He showed that he could deliver the ball accurately on the run against the Saints. So I think you'll see some of that. I think you'll see some screens if the Lions are blitzing and really trying to get in his face. But if I'm Detroit defensively, I'm certainly planning to try to stop Green Bay by stopping Aaron Jones. Packers ran for 180 yards against the Saints. They are going to lean on him and the running game as much as possible during this time that Rodgers is out. So I think the Lions are going to be built to stop the run Monday night. It's going to be up to Hundley to find open receivers and for McCarthy to devise a plan where everybody doesn't just run down the field 30 yards. Let's go for shorter passes too, quick hits, slants, curls, things that are going to get Hundley to move the chains. And this offense certainly, though, not built to have too many 80, 90-yard drives, right? I mean, you got a young quarterback still figuring things out. You're going to need to hit a big play or two as well. Very interested to see how McCarthy devises the game plan against a feisty Lions defense that's going to try to get their own pass rush going, one that's just been non-existent the last few weeks. They are not getting after the quarterback, and that's why they are losing football games. All right, let's head to the Packer lines. They're filled. We'll take them in the order we got them. That means we start with our friend Dave up in Maple Grove. Good morning.
Well, good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing well. Nice to talk to you. What's going on?
Couple things. Got to give a fast shout out to Ronnie from Southern Mississippi, an ex-listener who quit and is starting again today. So good morning, Ronnie. Thanks for coming back.
All right, welcome back, Ronnie.
You alluded to this briefly, Dave, but the one position, if you look at defensively, the position that's hurting us this year is outside linebacker. Matthews has played well. Perry has made some plays, but overall, we're not getting nearly enough splash plays from the two, especially when you look at the amount of salary cap space we're eating up.
Yeah, there's no question, Dave. I mean, I think we have 7.5 sacks as a team through, seven games. That's not going to cut it. Matthews only has 2.5. He has been active. He's certainly been obvious out there. He's made the quarterback uncomfortable, but he hasn't gotten to the quarterback a lot. Perry's been dealing with that hand issue with the big club on his hand. He's a full participant in practice. I'm going to see if he's still wearing a big old club or if that thing's gotten a little bit smaller. He'll be much more active and I think a chance to be dominant if he's got the use of both hands. But after that, you know, there's really nothing. You look at Julius Peppers. He's got as many sacks as the Packers do as a team. It's unbelievable. The guy's like 38, and he's still a big factor. That's been a loss, and no one's stepped up yet, right? Ahmad Brooks was brought in late. He can't stay on the field. Kyler Fackrell has bust written all over him, and Vince Beagle hasn't been able to get in uniform yet. He will tomorrow night. You're right. There's been a real lack of a pass rush from the outside linebacker that puts a stress on the corners and the back end and makes them look worse because quarterbacks have all day to throw. And it's the key storyline tomorrow night. If Stafford has time to just stand back there, he's doesn't move a lot. He moves okay, but he doesn't move a lot. He's not going to burn you with his legs. So you just got to make him uncomfortable, get him off his spot. Got to get pressure on Stafford. That has been the biggest problem. You're right for this team.
Agreed. The storyline, or just watch out, Devontae Mays tomorrow night. I suspect we're going to go big, strong running back, and he fills the bill. As well as Aaron Jones has been playing, I think Devontae Mays may be active and get some carries tomorrow.
I think you're right.
Prediction,
yep.
31-28, we're taking this one.
Wow, that's a lot of points. Thanks for the call. 31 points. Be surprised. Certainly Dave's been better at predicting these scores than I have. I hope he's right. I do believe Devontae Mays is going to get some carries tomorrow night. As Dave mentioned, he's a big guy, 230 pounds. You've got to wear down this Lions defense. Certainly the running game was very effective against the Saints. It has to continue right now. And Jamal Williams didn't show much when he was healthy. And Devontae Mays has yet to get a carry. And I think You know, didn't expect what we got out of Aaron Jones. Looks like he's the man. I'd be surprised if Mays doesn't make his debut tomorrow night. I think that's a pretty good call. Next up, our good friend, old Southside guy, is back in the country. Good morning.
Yes, Davey, good morning. Thank you. Hey, Davey, with the NFL trading deadline ending this last Tuesday, and given the fact that the Packers have four extra draft choices this year, we have a total of 11, I thought that Thompson maybe would make a move or two. For the first time, we can trade compensatory picks first time. So
yep.
I thought he'd do something. And I know there was a story out there that we could have had Eric Reed from San Francisco for a sixth round choice, and Thompson turned it down. And given the fact that Bryce is out now injured and Burnett's been injured so much this year, he might have been a nice pickup.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd rather see a cornerback come in than a safety. I actually think the Packers, again, this is before we knew about Bryce. The trade deadline happened before we knew Bryce was hurt. And Reed's been kind of a disappointment, certainly, in San Francisco. I could have seen looking for a cornerback. I feel like it's safety, actually, you know, with Dixon, Burnett, and Josh Jones, Marwin Evans. I think they still have four guys, even without Bryce. I actually think that's about the deepest position on the roster. I don't know, Southside. I think when Rodgers goes down, yeah, I mean, you still want to win and compete, but giving up picks in a year like this, I don't think made a whole lot of sense unless you really fell in love with the guy, and obviously they didn't.
Yeah, and I think, Davey, on Thompson's side, it's supposed to be a deep draft again, so hopefully we'll make some moves then. But I think as far as the Detroit game, I agree with you. I think a guy who may be a key guy in tomorrow's game is going to be Montgomery. He really hasn't been used a lot this year, and that short passing game, I think, is what could bring some success for Hundley.
Yeah, I'd love to see him in the mix, and Randall Cobb, too, out of the backfield. Just some gadget plays, some different looks. You've had a week to, as McCarthy loves to use the expression, self-scout and look at what your problems are and maybe what your strengths are. And usually unveil a couple of different looks. And I don't know if it's too much to put on Hundley's plate, but I expect to see them get a little creative offensively with some running plays and some screens to guys like Montgomery and Cobb against a Lions team that, you know, they might look to blitz as much as possible to confuse the young quarterback. So, yep, hey, all hands on deck for this one. Everybody's got to contribute.
Okay, Davey, agreed. Go Pack, go.
Thanks, Southside. Great to talk to you, as always. To Shakopee next. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. I've been waiting so long to talk. Aaron Rodgers is going to be starting the game today.
Well, I would like to think that's true. I follow you on Facebook. You're all over the state of Wisconsin, visiting every single possible tourist stop. Are you having a good time?
I am. Been nice to see if the Badgers could have gotten a win last night in hockey, but, you know, a tie is a tie, I guess. But I'm having a good time.
Good.
But I'm kind of sticking on the defensive theme. It seems it's, you know, the same thing week after week, you know, lacking the pass rush, can't get off the field on third down, can't stop a team in the red zone, and of course the pass rush defense is just bad. But we've got the talent, and that's, you know, Martinez, Clay, Maker's doing okay this year, Clark, King. We got the talent at times this year. I thought we had the talent and the depth as best we've had since, you know, 2014. What, are they just not playing as a team? What do you think?
Well, I think you have to start looking at Dom Capers at some point, don't you? I mean, I think he will be the fall guy if this defense continues to struggle in the areas that you just mentioned. Third downs, red zone, they've been abysmal. And if that doesn't change, then I would be surprised if the Packers didn't make a change at the top and bring somebody else in to try to lead these guys. Because, as you said, the development of Blake Martinez and Kenny Clark, you can rip Ted Thompson all you want. With draft picks, he has hit on those two guys. And I think Josh Jones, now with Bryce Evans out, is going to get a chance to show that he's a really nice young player. And Kevin King, too, as you mentioned, you know, the rookie who, you know, being a Pac-12 guy, he missed a lot of the offseason stuff, dealt with an injury early, and has been in and out a little bit. He's going to get more comfortable, more confident as the season goes on. And when the season's over, I think we're going to look at guys like Clark, Martinez, Jones, King, and you look at the veterans around them like Perry and Matthews and Burnett, and Mike Daniels, you're going to say, man, there's a lot of talent on this defense. You know, they maybe just need to be coached up a little bit better. Now, it's early. They've played seven. They got nine more And I do expect a much better performance out of the defense tomorrow night. I'll be surprised if I don't see it. So the story is still being written, but I think there is enough talent on this defense to be much more productive than it's been. And at some point, fingers are going to start pointing at the boss.
Well, it seems that happens every year. The fingers get pointed at, Capers, but he just keeps them coming back. But like you said, we'll see. And then one thing on the quarterback, you got to remember, Bill from St. Paul thought Callahan was the best thing coming out of Green Bay since Favre.
Yeah, maybe we're just one play away from the savior taking the field, right?
Exactly. So
enjoy the game.
You bet. Have fun.
Yep. Bye. Take care. When we come back, all the key matchups to watch, what the Lions do well, where they can be had. Special teams might rear its ugly head the wrong way. I'm concerned about special teams tomorrow night. I'll tell you why. We still have 1265 Matt and our good friend Kane holding. We'll get to your calls when we come back. Final segment, Packer Preview on the Fan.
You're listening to Packer Preview on the Fan.
Let's go. I'm ready. Heading to Lambeau tomorrow. Can't wait. See if the Pack can turn things around against the Lions tomorrow night. Let's talk about what the Lions do defensively when the Packers have the ball. That'll, to me, be the most interesting thing to watch is what the Lions do to try to confuse and make things difficult for Brett Hundley. As I mentioned, they've got the same problem the Packers have right now. They have no sacks over their last two games. And against both Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger, who draft back, I think, 70 times combined. They didn't get to either one of those guys, and neither one of those guys move around very well either. So they're not getting to the quarterback. Ziggy Ansah, their best pass rusher, has been dealing with an injury. He's got a knee injury. He is questionable for tomorrow night, likely to go, but likely nowhere near 100%. And that really hurts the pass rush, which lost their best player, Kerry Hyder, during the preseason and replaced him with Anthony Zettel, who has not done much. So they just can't get much pressure up front, and so they'll look to blitz and try some unique and exotic looks to confuse Brett Hundley, who's obviously still trying to figure things out. They do have some nice younger pieces up front, Nashawn Robinson and Akeem Spence. But the Lions team defensively, which a few years ago was strongest up front, might even now be strongest on the back end with a couple of really nice players in the secondary. Their front four, not all that great. They do have a terrific rookie middle linebacker, Jared Davis. The Florida product has been an instant star for them and has really made their linebacking core much more formidable. It allowed them to move Tahir Whitehead, who was their middle linebacker, to the outside, where he is more comfortable and better. So they really improved in two places at the linebacker position. So Jared Davis will be a handful, and you'll hear his name called a lot, I believe, as the Packers try to run right at him. On the back end, Darius Slay is a terrific cornerback. He'll likely get Davante Adams and follow Adams wherever he is on Monday night. After Slay, though, their cornerbacks are iffy. Nevin Lawson, Quandre Diggs, those guys are okay, nothing special. I think Jordy Nelson has a chance to have a big game tomorrow night as he will not draw Slay. And as long as he and Hundley can get on the same page, I think Nelson has a chance to make some plays, as does Cobb in the middle of the field. On the back end, Glover Quinn, the free safety, maybe their best all-around defensive player. He's a big hitter and a real quarterback back there and makes a real difference for that defense, and he really kind of rounds things out. So defensively, they're, I'd say, average at best, couple of really nice players, but certainly they have not been anywhere near as productive as the Saints have been the last 5 weeks, and there should be plays and a chance for this Packers offense to be much more productive than they've been the last 2 weeks as Hundley tries to figure things out. This is a defense you want to face at home. There should be a lot of chance for plays in the passing game, but it's going to start with the running game. Aaron Jones should get 20 touches minimum in this game, maybe even more. He has really stepped up and looks like the man in this backfield. Packers love blocking for him. They love what he brings. Yes, you sprinkle in some Montgomery, maybe Devontae Mays, but Aaron Jones should be the workhorse and should be able to get some yardage. So the Lions' rush defense has been pretty good. They're holding teams under 4 yards a carry, but the Packers need to. I wouldn't be shocked if they come out throwing a little bit tomorrow night, knowing that the Lions are going to be built to stop Aaron Jones. Don't be shocked if the first 3, 4, 5 plays are passing plays. That would not surprise me at all. We'll talk about the Lions' offense and the special team situation in a moment, but let's grab a couple phone calls first, beginning with our good friend, 1265 Lombardi Guy. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. I was a little on the fence on whether the bye week was a good thing for Hundley or not. On one hand, I thought, well, he can come back if he could come back the next week and just roll right into a game plan and roll right into practice, that that would create some better momentum for him coming into that next game.
Okay.
Yet, my hope was is that the receivers and Hundley got together in the bye week at an indoor facility somewhere around town, and they did spend some time getting together on their timing, because I think that he can make a difference in the passing game as long as McCarthy cuts it loose. McCarthy cut it loose in the second quarter of the Saints game. Hundley scored on the running touchdown, and they moved the ball very well. So bottom line is, I don't know if it helps him or hurts him, but I got to believe he's going to be much more prepared than he was for the Saints.
I agree, and I hope the prime time situation, that the nation's eyes are on him, that he's not thinking too much about that. In a perfect world, I'd rather play this game today at noon, to be honest, for Hundley's sake. It does ramp up things a little bit when you're under the lights on in the prime time and the second start. But I guess I would side with the give me the time. Give me the time, because basically he's been thrown to Trevor Davis and Geronimo Allison his entire time here, and he hasn't got a lot of chance to throw to Nelson Adams and Cobb. And so give him a few extra days to do that. He spent the bye week in Green Bay soaking up as much as he can. And, yeah, to me it does come down to McCarthy. Look, you've trusted this guy. He's been there for 3 years. This isn't somebody you just plucked off the street. Turn him loose. Show why you believe in him. Show why you think you can get a draft pick for him in the offseason. Show why you've put your stock in him being the backup. And so I think it's on McCarthy to really let this kid do what we think he can do. And, again, this is a defense where he should be able to make some plays. So really curious to see what kind of a different Hundley we see tomorrow night.
On the other side of the ball, our defense needs to really tighten up in the passing game past the first front seven. They have got to start making tackles in the open field. They can't let those soft open areas be open catches and yards after the catch. Our pass defense just has to tighten up, and hopefully that'll happen on Monday night. Well, enjoy the game. We'll talk to you next week, Dave.
Thanks, 1265. Appreciate it. Always nice to talk to you. I think the biggest reason for hope for the defense tomorrow night is the return of the captain, Morgan Burnett, who missed the last two games. He'll be back there leading that defense. I can't overstate how important he is, really. I mean, I think we saw it certainly against New Orleans a couple times. That defense was caught with 10 players on the field, including when Ingram ran in almost untouched from 10, 12 yards out. They only had 10 guys on the field. That's inexcusable. You cannot let that happen. And, you know, they're blaming the fact that, you know, with Clinton Dix just didn't handle that position of authority, of being the guy with the microphone on his helmet and counting players and making sure everybody's in the right spot. That's not what he's ever done before, and he certainly struggled with it. Burnett's back as the quarterback of that defense, and I do think that's going to make a big difference for that unit. But 1265 mentioned it. Dave from Shakopee mentioned it. You've got to get much tighter on the back end. You can't allow guys like Ted Ginn to run three in the middle of the field. We've seen what Golden Tate can do to this Packer team, whether he's in Seattle or Detroit. He'll be all over the middle of that field looking for open gaps, and they just have to make things difficult. That the cornerbacks have been, and the safeties have been, pretty good tackling this year. There have been a couple games where missed tackles have been a problem, but for the most part, that's not the issue. It's allowing receivers just free rein to run their pattern and find open spots. And so the secondary has to get much better, and again, it starts up front with the pass rush, forcing things to go a little more quickly. That's something that we'll be watching. And I do think the return of Burnett does make a big difference. I think Perry's healthier. That's going to help the pass rush. And And certainly what we've gotten up front with Daniels and Kenny Clark has been terrific. So there are some very nice playmakers on that defense, and they look great on first and second down, but they've really struggled on third down against good quarterbacks, and they're facing another good one Monday night, who's been absolutely lethal between the 20s. He's struggled a bit lately in the red zone, but that offense can move the ball. You know, we talked about Golden Tate, who always catches a lot of balls. Marvin Jones has torched this defense the last couple times they've played, and after a slow start, he has really come on. So the Packers will have to watch Marvin Jones, certainly. And out of the backfield, while Amir Abdullah is kind of the main running back and the workhorse, Theo Riddick, out of the backfield as a receiver, will get plenty of work tomorrow night. They saw the tape. They saw, especially early against the Saints, how Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, were wide open for screen passes. The Packers being aggressive, doing a lot of blitzing, and they were dumping it off and getting chunks of yardage. And Theo Riddick is a guy that can do that for Detroit, and the Packers have to make sure they have a spy on him and don't allow him to have big plays. So lots of challenges for this defense against Matthew Stafford, but he is not the same quarterback on the road. He's not the same quarterback in primetime, and the Packers have to hope that that trend continues tomorrow night. Next up to Brooklyn Park we go. Matt joins us. Welcome to Packer Preview. Good morning.
Morning, Dave. Hey, I meant to call in yesterday to you and Trent, but we got kind of busy and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just heard that the Gophers play early Saturday, so you guys are probably going to get bumped. So I appreciate you taking a call this morning from the opponent.
Sure.
Dave, I wish I had some high expectations. I wish I could trash talk being a Lions fan, but you know how we do it. After that Pittsburgh game, we blew it. I don't have any expectations. I'm glad you guys are getting healthier because I would rather do that and not hear about all the injured players and stuff. I think that we're wasting Stafford. I definitely think that we're wasting Abdullah. You mentioned Abdullah and Riddick. They are wasting him. I don't know that he's a superstar in the making, but I think he could be really good, and I don't know why they don't throw to him, because if you've been seeing the Lions games and their stats, they're not throwing to Riddick, and I don't understand why. So you might as well throw it to Abdullah, but until they can run the ball and get to the quarterback. You were right on target with that. When they lost Kerry Hyder, that really hurt their pass rush, and I don't think they're going to touch Hundley. But I think they're a good team. I think that they play hard for Caldwell. I think tomorrow's game's a pick 'em. I'll be tuned in, looking forward to it. I'm just wondering what you think it's going to be like tomorrow night.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Appreciate the kind words and the call. And, yeah, the whole wasting Stafford thing. So many teams over the years look at their quarterbacks when they've got a really nice quarterback, so they never quite break down that door. And you got to start to feel that way with a Lions team that reached the playoffs last year and started out 2-0 and looked like the class of the North, and things have gone kind of pear-shaped. I do think they will throw to Riddick tomorrow night. I think that's something they've kept in their back pocket. When you scout the Packers, you know that they are susceptible to the screen game. So I would be shocked if Theo Riddick is not a part of that offensive game plan tomorrow night. Haven't even mentioned TJ Lang yet and his return to Lambeau. I saw him tweet out yesterday, or maybe it was Friday, that he expects to get booed at Lambeau Field. And I never tweet back at athletes. Well, I shouldn't say never, because I did this time. Might be the first time I ever did it, and said, I can't believe we will hear any boos. I don't expect one person to boo. How do you boo TJ Lang? It's not like he said, I'm out of here. This place stinks. Look, the Packers lowballed him, which I don't regret the decision at all. I mean, Ted Thompson has to make tough decisions at every position, and we know he doesn't value the guard position. He let Sitton go, and then he let Lang go. A 30-year-old who's had a couple surgeries and wants huge money is not a good business decision in his mind. He wants to pay his tackles, you know, his skill position guys, and then defense. You can't pay everybody. So he made the tough choice to let Lang walk, and the Lions, since he's a Detroit kid, get the guy back home against a division opponent. They overpaid for TJ Lang, who has been in and out of the lineup this year. He'll certainly be in the lineup tomorrow night, but I would be absolutely stunned if Packer fans do not stand and applaud. I will be standing and applauding, and I'm predicting that virtually everybody in that stadium will too, if there's an opportunity to kind of single him out a little bit. You don't always get that chance, but if there is a chance, TJ Lang will get warm applause, as he should, for his tenure on the Packers' offensive line. That said, the Packers' guard play has been really good this year. You know, Taylor has, you know, really been a find at left guard. We'll see if he's able to play last night. You know, Rodney McCray has stepped in and played when needed and done a terrific job. So while the Packers would love to have Lang, I understand why they made the call, and certainly I would think Packer fans will warmly welcome TJ Lang back to Lambeau Field tomorrow night. All right, we just heard from a Lions fan. It's only fair, a fairness in NFC North act, to welcome our favorite Viking fan to the program for his brand of humor. We welcome Kane in Apple Valley. Good morning.
Hey, thanks for referring to me as a gentleman earlier, and then you call me your good friend. I feel like I finally belong here.
It's nice. I'm buttering you up. Yep. I'm buttering you up a little bit, Kane.
Well, I woke up feeling like I took a couple Bobby Knight chair shots myself. I hope you're teaching Jackson that alcohol is bad, but, you know, when your team's 6-2 and you're on a gravy train with biscuit wheels, sometimes you got to let loose a little bit.
Yeah, your team's great at fast starts. I'll give you that. You do it every year.
Didn't work out last year.
No, it didn't.
First and foremost, I was listening to In the Zone, a.k.a. Packer Preview 2.0 yesterday, and some clown called in and started burying you and your team, and honestly, I think that's pretty weak. If the guy had any stones, he'd call you where your heart is right on this show and do it here. So, Colored Kane, not impressed with him. But anyway, what I wanted to ask you today, you know, historically, it's always kind of been the running bit that the Vikings have pillaged Packer free agents or their cast-offs, you know, guys like Jennings, Sharper, Robert Ferguson. Do you think now that the Vikings certainly have the more talented roster, the opposite is now going to be true, where some of the Vikings players, where their contracts are up, Packers will go after them, you know, guys like Kendricks and Danielle Hunter. You know, I think your fans would just be frothing at the mouth for that kind of talent. As for the game Monday night, I think 17-10 Pack, the Lions just aren't good.
Thanks, Kane. More talented roster. That's always a fun Twitter conversation with me and Viking fans. I enjoy that. I'll take the Packers roster on the offensive side. I'll take the Vikings roster on the defensive side, and no one's going to change my mind there. The Vikes are not letting Danielle Hunter or Kendricks walk. They're nowhere near ready for. Yeah, you're talking about guys in their 30s that are leaving Green Bay and going to other teams. And Dayton Jones worked out well as well. So keep pillaging and doing your best to grab Packer cast-offs. We don't like cast-offs. And when the Packers do get cast-offs, it's hit and miss, right? I mean, it looked great when they did it. Bennett has not worked out well. He's been a nice blocker, certainly, and the Packers have needed that. In fact, I got a tweet from Brett who asked, why aren't the Packers using their tight ends in the game plan? Mainly because the tackles haven't been healthy. And the Packers have gone, 7-8 deep at tackle this year, and you just need those tight ends to help out and block. They haven't been able to go out and become downfield weapons. Hopefully now, and I expect tomorrow night. I think if you're looking for a breakout performance tomorrow night and John Gruden to gush over somebody, I can hear him tomorrow night going, "At Lance Kendricks, I always liked that kid. He never had a quarterback to play with. All he does is play hard and get downfield." I think Lance Kendricks, with Martellus Bennett out tomorrow night, is going to be a guy where people are going to go, "He's on the Packers? That guy always was pretty good, you know, in St. Louis and, you know, wherever he's been." I think they are going to get to the tight ends tomorrow night. I think that with Bakhtiari and Bulaga healthy, and hopefully they'll start and finish the game Monday night, I think Lance Kendricks gets a shot to make some big plays down the field in a soft middle of the field. Richard Rodgers will get some chances as well, but don't be surprised if Lance Kendricks is a name that people are talking about after the game tomorrow night. I think the Packers tight ends will start to make their presence known now that the offensive line is getting a bit healthier. I talked about special teams, and again, this appears to be a field goal game. The Lions are favored by 2 points at Lambeau Field. I dare someone to go back and tell me the last time the Lions were favored at Lambeau. Maybe it was the Matt Flynn game, I guess. I don't know. But obviously, with Brett Hundley at quarterback, that is why Packers would probably be 7-8-point favorites if Rodgers were out there. But because the Lions are favored by 2, it's expected to be a close game. Special teams might turn this thing. I already told you to start the show with a change in long snapper just a day or two ago. Real concerns for me about Mason Crosby on the field goal unit. Justin Vogel punting, making sure those snaps are perfect. Bad play there just might swing this game. Watch a kid named Jamal Agnew. He is a rookie fifth-round pick for the Lions. He is their return guy, both kickoffs and punts. He leads the league in punt returns at 21.7 yards per punt return. Yes, I said that correctly. He is averaging nearly 22 yards a punt return. He has taken 2 to the house. And my immediate thought is, why can't the Packers ever find a return guy like that? You know, do we have to go back to Desmond Howard the last time the Packers had a return guy like that? Let's be careful with Jamal Agnew. In a close game like this, one big punt return could turn things. I'm very concerned about him, and the Packers' punt coverage unit's been pretty good this season, and Vogel will be charged with keeping the ball away from him But every time he touches the ball, he is a danger to take it to the house. So I'll be watching special teams very closely. I think the Packers' defense stands up, does a much better job on third downs and in the red zone against a team that's struggling there. But let's keep Golden Tate and Marvin Jones down and see if Hundley has enough to make it happen. You can read my entire preview at theheadcheese.com. Sorry, I took the Lions 24-21. I hope I'm wrong, but I need to see a much better performance than I saw against New Orleans. Maybe the fact that I'm there will help. Let's hope so. Enjoy the game, Packer fans, and go Pack.
Is your insurance company easy to deal with? Thousands of independent insurance agents rank West Bend at the top when it comes to ease of doing